We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
And following local guidelines for everyone's safety, we'll be asking some simple questions that will inform funds for healthcare, education, and more over the next decade. But right now is your chance to make a big difference. Shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
With all the uncertainty in the world today, our mental wellness is being tested like never before. I'm Listening is here to remind you that you are not alone. Each day, we highlight conversations with celebrities, athletes, and mental health professionals who share their experiences to help you manage feelings of anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues. Join us Wednesday, September 23rd at 6 p.m. for a two-hour in-depth discussion as we take the mental health temperature of the nation. For more, visit imlistening.org. Remember, talk has the power to save lives.
Honey, do you hear that?
Yeah. What is that?
Oh, my God, the roof is leaking. Okay, I got this. Look out, coming through.
What are you doing?
I'm catching the water to keep us from drowning. What are you doing?
I'm calling Bennett Roofing. They've got 24-hour emergency service and can get our roof fixed in no time. Put those pots away. I just washed those.
Licensed and insured, Bennett Roofing offers 24-hour emergency service on all roof repair. Visit them at BennettRoofingMemphis.com or call them at 901-359-9708.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around, and he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show. Today's special guest host is Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian.
What's happening, Memphis? Drew Hill filling in for Gary on 92.9 FM ESPN. I hope you were not on a party bus on Saturday in Memphis
after the
Memphis-Arkansas State game.
Too soon.
If you aren't aware yet, there are reports out from the commercial appeal that that was the reason why now 20-plus players for the Memphis football team have tested positive for coronavirus, and there are a number of others that are also out due to contact tracing, and they have stopped all football activities over at that facility. We'll talk about that right away. After that, we'll get into it again, talk a little bit more college football with Dan Wolkin of USA Today at 4:25. We'll do four stories at 4:44. The Grizzlies made a new hire, so we'll talk about that during that segment. Jeff at 5 o'clock, then maybe a little NFL, a little college football, do dinner to go, and get out of here. But let's start with the Memphis football team. The school released a statement not too long ago that essentially confirms the report that came out earlier. It actually started in the morning. It was in a Houston radio station was speculating that Memphis had a number of players that were positive for coronavirus at the moment and sort of cast doubt over the idea that they were going to play this game on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Not tomorrow, obviously, but the next week. And so that sort of was swirling. I'm not a Memphis football reporter, but I didn't really hear anything about that during the day, but I figured that eventually it would get cleared up, probably before the radio show. I know a lot of people were making calls, and sure enough, report comes out. Mark Giannotto just talked about it on the Giannotto and Jeffrey show. A source told him that players were on a party bus in celebration after the game. And that is part of the reason, at least, why several of these players have now tested positive. Now, to be fair, there have been three players now that have come out, that I, at least that I have seen. Maybe there's more. O'Brien Goodson straight up denied it. He said that there is no party bus. And so we get that from him. John Tate said something along the lines of, you take the story and you run with it. And then I believe it was Tim Hart said something along the lines. And those two, there wasn't a full-on denial, but it was like, you don't know the full story here. Like, this, the full story isn't out yet. And this is, to me, it's kind of a sensitive subject, because especially when you don't know if all the information is out, and you don't know if all the information will ever go out, because Memphis has made the decision that they're not going to release names or specifics or anything like that. They did acknowledge that they have a bunch of players that are sick at the moment, and they've canceled practice. But I don't think you're going to get any more details really from the school. The underlying problem here, at least for me, and I think that now if you want to debate this, and you can just take it for what it is if you want, there's no reason to even debate, and I sort of feel that way. It just feels like this was a bit of an inevitability when the season started. You knew games were going to get canceled. I guess the question is, there are some people that say, why are we playing football? Like, why are we playing college football? This isn't safe because of the virus, and we shouldn't be playing at all. Then there's another train of thought that is, okay, but can't you play football if everybody does what they're supposed to do and you can keep it safe?
A lot of testing, yeah.
You are testing three times a week. Testing three times a week, it's going to be hard, and Memphis acknowledged this in their release, to keep players from having any sort of social life whatsoever.
Right.
Like, that's almost impossible. And so the question becomes, how much of this is football and how much of this is off the field? I don't think we have a direct answer to that.
And we're going to find out a lot in the next 24 hours, because Arkansas State plays at Kansas State tomorrow, and they're going to get tested before the game, I'm sure. And so
they have a bunch of players test positive.
And you can't prove anything, but I mean, if they have a bunch of players test positive, then a lot of people are going to point to that and say, well, it was because of the game,
Right. No, I think that that's the case. We will know it's because of the game. I mean, there's unless Arkansas State is out partying after a loss in Memphis, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Right.
If they have a big number of players test positive, I think we will know that it probably came from the football field. Better that it doesn't, to be honest.
For college football, for sure.
Yeah, for college football, it's better. I mean, it's obviously bad that people have coronavirus in any scenario. In terms of college football, you would prefer this is just a couple of college kids making a bonehead decision and going to a party, whether it's a party bus or not. I mean, I'm sure we'll find out. But you would hope that this is just a few kids making a bad decision, and that this isn't an indictment, I guess, on the whole idea of playing college football.
Right. I think Mark said, like, it's good that it's happening now, because you probably got time to figure out how to make it up. Like you can probably get through this and make up the game if it, in fact, gets postponed or canceled.
If this happened in the middle of conference play, I don't know what they would do. Like, they'd be... You're either going to be playing an uneven amount of games and you just have to cancel it, but then you have to change all the plans for everything else. What happens if Memphis wins all but one game, goes nearly undefeated, and then they're one game short?
Yeah.
Like, how do you decide who wins the conference? Like, we're all fortunate that this happened now.
Yes.
That would have, this had the potential to screw everything up later on in the season, for sure.
Yeah, if you ask me now, I would say they're going to find a way to play that game, whether it's next weekend or down the road. They'll figure it out, because they've got a little bit of wiggle room here with the schedule.
I guess the other question here, and this goes back to the balance between is this football related, is this off the field related, is can you stop college kids from being college kids? Like, can you, we all expect to socialize, and I
we know you can't in the SEC.
I hate to admit this. I'm telling on myself, but I think if I was, and maybe you can weigh in, I think if I was in college, and I'm a I would like to think I'm a lot more mature now.
Yep.
Maybe I'm not than I was 5 years ago. I can't tell you for sure that I would be the most safe person in the world. Now, I wasn't a Division I football player, but I just think that I, in my immaturity, would probably act the same way. Like, so it's hard for me to find, I guess, blame in college kids being college kids. It just is going to happen. As this was part of the when Jeff
it's
asked me,
it's hard
times.
To disagree with that. It is, and you know, you could say, well, the counter would be, well, we're in the middle of a global pandemic.
Right.
Everything's
sure.
different. You gotta abide by the rules.
But when you're 20 years old, you don't think that way.
That's and I totally agree with that. Like, I think about what I did when I was in college, and like, yeah. It's just, it's kind of is what it is in a way, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm with you there. You cannot stop that.
Yeah.
So, and we've seen it. We've seen it on campuses across the country where they're having students. It's just really hard to police that because you're 20 years old, 21 years old. Like, you're going to do what you want to do. We did it. We talked about it off air. Like, we're just... You become a different person as you get older and get out of college. But when you're that age, you know, you're having fun. Life's about having fun.
So let me ask you about this. If this becomes the norm, let's hope it doesn't, how many of these scenarios will it take, especially if this was an on-the-field transfer and not a socializing type of thing? And let's say Arkansas State does have a lot of players test positive. How many of these little flare-ups will have to happen for them to make any sort of meaningful change to college football?
I think when it gets to the point where multiple big-time programs that have a lot of pull in their conference are, and we're going to see more finger-pointing, but are very vocal in saying, this isn't fair. We don't have a chance to win, to compete for a championship. When you have multiple big-time programs in multiple conferences where that's happening, that's when it's going to all come to a fold, in my opinion.
I got news. College football isn't fair.
Right. No, it's not. But
the entire setup. But yeah, I get, yes, you're right.
When you get, like, let's say a situation, we'll just throw out, Alabama and Georgia are dealing with a similar situation. When you get Alabama and Georgia screaming that this isn't right, that we don't have a chance to play for a championship this year, for an SEC championship because of, you know, what's going on with our players testing positive or whatnot, that's when you're going to have issues in college football.
Yeah. I honestly don't. Like,
I hope it doesn't get to that.
It's hard for me to even, like, to even break this down because we – expected this to a degree, no? Like, I thought that if you – I thought going into the season –
Not week one, but yeah.
Not yet. Right? Not after week one. Not after week one. But I did think at some point, especially as the weather gets colder, the teams – everybody's going to be coming back inside. We expect that the numbers will get up a little bit higher. I didn't think that – if I asked you to begin the season, do you think Memphis will play every single game that's on their schedule – I would have probably said no. I would have probably guessed that they won't play every game. That because it just takes, especially in a football setting, if you're in the same room with people, it only takes a couple of guys getting sick and you can get the whole team sick. I probably would have guessed no in that scenario. Now, that being said, it is you are a Division I football player. You do have a responsibility. Like, I'm not saying that getting on a party bus was smart or acceptable. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that it has to be expected. I'm curious to see how much flack Ryan Silverfield will take over something like this, if that does turn out to be the case.
I don't
and
see.
I
don't
wonder
see
how much of it is fair.
It's not. I mean, that's not. And he said this, and he's to his credit, he has said like, well, because what we obviously say is, well, he didn't sign up for this. He didn't sign up to take this job during a global pandemic and everything that's going on in our country.
He won't be the only coach that has a situation like this either.
Right. But, you know, he would say that no excuses, like, you know, it's my job. It's what I got to do. But I just don't see – it is impossible for him to know what all of his players are doing all the time. It's just impossible.
It's impossible.
You just can't police
it. But do you think that people – and I agree with you. But do you think that that there will be people that, no matter, that still feel that he has some sort of responsibility? Like, do you think he will catch any flack for this?
He might, but it's unwarranted, in my opinion.
I actually talked to Jeff about this, and I'm sure we'll discuss it at 5 o'clock, but we were having a discussion on the phone when I was waiting around for the show to start, and we talked about college kids being college kids and whether or not he has any responsibility here. And Jeff made a great point. He said, so does Mike D'Antoni have a responsibility for Daniel House trying to bring a female coronavirus tester into his room in the bubble? Is Mike D'Antoni going to catch any blame for that? No.
No.
And to a degree, Mike D'Antoni has way more control over his team at the moment than Ryan Silverfield
has.
That's
true, because you do know what they're doing at all times.
Right.
For the most part, yeah.
They're all in the same hotel, next to
each
other. And they're professionals getting paid. And whereas Ryan has to let these guys go, he can't watch them at every turn. And again, this is something that we expected. So I don't think that it's fair at all to criticize Ryan for what has happened.
I'm with you.
But, I mean, it hasn't been a very good couple weeks for Memphis football. The game went well, but you had a player that got shot, and then now you have this. It's a little bit it's disappointing, I guess, because we were all getting excited for the season to start and ready for this, and this team was really good. Like, part of the disappointment here is simply that they're not going to get to play because they're awesome, and nobody wants to wait to watch them play. And that's probably the biggest thing. And you think about the health and safety of the kids, you would expect that Memphis has noted that that there's nothing serious right now. I mean, but there are serious complications going forward. People that get this virus with heart conditions and lung problems and all types of things. So number one is the safety of the kids in this situation. And number two is just making sure that you can actually get these football games in, because from a monetary perspective, they're critical.
Dude, and
that's why we're doing this.
I said to Jeffrey, like, and this is not going to be even close to the first case of finger pointing in college football this season. Because this is not going to be the first time this happens. It's not.
And it's going to be a different – like, this is not a shot at Memphis at all. It'll be on a different level when it happens to, like, a Clemson, you know?
Right.
That when the finger-pointing starts there, then you're in serious trouble.
Because people are really looking for someone to blame in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think – so Memphis's game could be impacted. What do you think about – I mean, this is the first weekend where you have a lot of games going on.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think a game's going to get canceled?
Well, we had one postponed, SMU and TCU. I think we might see one get postponed.
I think chances are better than not that you might wake up tomorrow and one of these games is.
Yeah, Florida International, UCF, Marshall, East Carolina, those are all postponed. I think we'll see a game get postponed tomorrow.
Should there be any – so let's say that this – is sort of true that it was a social gathering and that's how the players end up getting coronavirus. I think, and I get the sense already from people that I've talked to, and I think Mark mentioned this on the show, that the rest of the conference is not very happy that this is the situation going on at Memphis. Is there a situation where you can punish a team at all for missing a game? Like, if it's Memphis's fault and they don't have the players to play and they can't reschedule a game later in the season, then what happens?
I don't see how.
You have to forfeit?
I just don't see how you can punish a team. I mean, obviously, like, if it's impossible for you to play a game, you know, that's punishment there in itself. Right. But I don't see how you can police that if you're the AAC. I mean, I know it said in the press release that that it traces back to a social gathering, right? But again, like, if you're going to get down in the nitty-gritty and the league is like, well, we're going to punish you for that. Like, you're gonna forfeit this game. We're not going to reschedule it or something like that. It still goes back to that. Well, prove it. Like, prove that that's how it happened.
Because Houston is equally as hurt as Memphis, even if it's Memphis that has all the positive coronavirus cases. And
right.
If this happens later on in the season, and especially if there's a team that's contending for the championship and the opponent is the team that has all the positive cases and they can't play the game because of the opponent.
Yeah, then what do you do? I don't know. I mean, do you schedule another conference? Like, if they were, let's just say Houston didn't have UCF on their schedule, could you figure out a way to do another game or something? I don't think you could. I mean, it's just, I don't see how they could do it.
Right. Yeah. Both
teams would end up getting punished, like you said.
Right.
If you made them
even
forfeit.
If it's,
yeah.
Even if that, and imagine if it has national championship implications, mm-hmm. right? Like, let's say that Notre Dame, who's ranked 10th right now, is playing their schedule and two or three of their games get canceled and they don't lose a game, but they didn't beat good teams because they had to cancel other games.
Yeah.
Then how do you look at their resume going into the postseason? You have to look at it differently. And is that anyone's fault on Notre Dame? No, it's not in that scenario. So
I think
that's
going
to be very interesting.
Yeah, I think what you'll see after this weekend, like, let's say another game gets postponed or something like that. I think regardless of what happens, I think what you'll see a lot after this weekend is, like, these coaches just sitting down with their teams and having, like, real conversations like, hey, we're kind of teetering here. Like, if you want to do this, we got to be careful.
You got to be in or out.
Yeah, yeah.
You got a chance to opt out. Like, you've either got to be in or you've got to be out. Yeah, but that's a difficult conversation to have because, like I said, I just try and put myself in other people's shoes in situations like this. It's hard for me It is hard for me to be critical of kids partying in college. It just is because that's the way that it works. Right?
Yep, yep.
We were all 20, 21 years old once upon a time. So for me, it is what it is. It's a bad situation. Hopefully it works out. And hopefully if the game doesn't get played next weekend, it'll at least get rescheduled so Memphis can play a full slate. All right, when we come back, we'll continue this conversation with Dan Wolkin of USA Today. This is Drew Hill filling in for Gary Parrish on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Are you looking for the biggest brands in computers? If so, the place to look is Cooper Systems. It's in the Mount Moriah Office Park. I'm talking about Dell, HP, Lenovo, Asus, Apple. Big savings on the biggest names in computers at Cooper Systems in the Mount Moriah Office Park. Just give them a call, 901-360-9679. That's 360-9679. Talk to Lee Cooper. Talk to Lauren Cooper. Talk to any of the consultants at Cooper Systems. Tell them what it is you need a computer for. What are you going to be doing with it? Making music videos or just surfing the web? Those are two different kinds of computers. When you tell Lee, Lauren, or any consultant at Cooper Systems what you need a computer for, they'll find one that's perfectly suited for you. If it's perfectly suited for you, it's going to be better price for you. And don't forget about printers. Cooper System, they have printers for all of your printing needs. 360-9679. 360-9679. Give them a call. They're happy to help you. It's Cooper Systems in the Mount Moriah Office Park on the web, coopersystems.com.
In your city, Tennessee, frowns ruled the streets, and boredom could be found everywhere until the hit games rolled into town. Now a whole lot of fun is about to hit from the producers of Once Upon an Instant Game, the good, the fun, and the winner, and the Tennessee Lottery comes, the Hit Games gang rides again. Fun is coming to your city. Hit Instant Games, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
You gonna eat the other half of that sandwich?
It's all yours.
Nice. Chips too?
Sure.
Cool. What's up with that Powerball ticket?
I didn't win.
Can I have it?
Why?
To enter the Powerball First Millionaire of the Year drawing. I could win a free trip to New York City or New Year's Eve hometown party package.
Then no, you can't have it.
Fine. But I'm keeping the sandwich.
Visit TNVIPrewards.com to enter the Powerball First Millionaire of the Year drawing from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Prescriptions products require approval from an online healthcare provider. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Everyone needs a good wingman. Someone who always has your back when you need it. But what about a wingman in the bedroom? Visit RexMD.com for real ED medication and get a wingman that keeps on giving. Here's how it works. Just fill out a 5-minute online quiz, and based on your information, RexMD.com will provide one of their private online doctors to find an effective solution just for you to improve your drive and performance. If appropriate, you can get generic options of Viagra or Cialis starting at just $3 per tablet. Your consultation is free. There's no copays, no doctor office visits, and there's no need to visit the pharmacy, as your prescription will be delivered directly to you, and your shipping is always free. At RexMD.com, we've made the process fast, easy, and affordable. Everyone needs a good wingman. Visit RexMD.com right now. That's RexMD.com.
Indeed knows a lot of small businesses took a hit recently and are busy trying to figure out plans for the future. So if you're hiring, it means finding the right people is more critical than ever before. Indeed will help you find the quality candidates you need while only paying for what you need. Claim your $75 credit to get more quality candidates fast when you post your first job at Indeed.com/high impact. That's Indeed.com/high impact. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's be real. Mopping is a hassle. You have to fill the bucket, pushing a wet, heavy mop around, then cleaning the mop when you're done so it doesn't grow bacteria. A hassle on top of a hassle. Try Swiffer WetJet. With Swiffer WetJet, you start with a fresh pad and cleaning solution every time. And when you're done, you just toss the pad. Swiffer WetJet, the faster, easier, cleaner way to clean your floors.
Wendy's famous 4-for-4 is heating up with the new Spicy Crispy Chicken Sandwich. The Queen of Spice is delivering that spicy chicken you love with lettuce and mayo between two deliciously soft buns. And yes, in classic 4-for-4 fashion, you can get all that spicy goodness with spicy or crispy nuggets, fries, and a drink to cool off, all for just $4. Is it getting hot in here? Or did Wendy's just deliver the hottest deal in fast food? We got you.
Offer includes 4-piece nuggets, junior fry, and value drink. Price and participation may vary.
For muscle pain, body aches, to strains, Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis. It works fast and you won't stink. Its unique formula with emu oil penetrates deep to relieve arthritis pain, sore muscles, joints, and more.
Hi, I'm a 2020 census taker. As I walk around your neighborhood, you'll see my census bag and ID badge. We're coming by to assist anyone who hasn't completed it yet, and we'll be wearing a mask and following local guidelines for everyone's safety. We'll be asking some simple questions that will inform funds for healthcare, education, and more over the next decade. But right now is your chance to make a big difference. Shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian.
Welcome back. Drew Hill filling in for Gary Parrish on 92.9 FM ESPN. Now welcome on Dan Wolkin of USA Today. He is a columnist over there, does a great job. Let's make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
Dan, so the big news in Memphis is obviously the COVID-19 outbreak within the football team that has now put the Houston game in jeopardy. I'll start with this. Is this more of a problem with college football and playing games, or is this a problem of college kids being college kids?
Well, I think it's all that. I think it's also a little bit of a problem with Memphis, sorry to say, because, you know, I just think that whenever you're talking about a situation where people are getting COVID due to a party bus, or, you know, I know that some players have disputed it, but I think the reality of the situation is pretty much in line with what the commercial appeal reported today. It doesn't indicate great things about, you know, the culture, frankly, and the commitment of that team to doing what they need to do to play a season. So it's all of that. I don't think you can control it everywhere 100%, but certainly some people have done a better job than others. Of course, the problem is with football, you know, you're talking about teams of 100 people, and, you know, if a few kind of go off the rails and don't take the precautions that they should take, then you could have a big, big problem.
Do you think that this is an outlier, or is it something that could be happening every week in college football with a different team?
It is going to happen, I don't know about every week, but it's certainly going to happen a lot, yeah. And it's why, you know, I know people accuse me of saying that I've written that we shouldn't be playing football or whatever. It's not really the case. I mean, what I've said over and over again is I think the best thing for football would be to play when you feel like you can reasonably go through a season without getting totally off the rails. And part of the way you do that is daily testing. And once that happens, I think it's going to be a ton easier for these teams to be able to control, you know, the infections levels when they are coming into the building every single day. I mean, it's just common sense, right? You can isolate cases quicker, and you don't have as many windows for bad things to happen. But, I think you're going to have a lot of games postponed and canceled and whatever else, because you're just not going to be able to get 100 and something, or I guess it's not that many teams, whatever it is, 70 teams through a season without having incidents like this.
So you are not under the impression that this is something that can cancel the season at this point? Specific incident, but just if this were to happen to a more prominent team, what sort of impact does that have?
I don't even think that's it, really. I mean, look, I think, yeah, like, this is the kind of thing that if it starts happening all the time, like, and you have, you know, you just can't really manage it, and, you know, you have a league where half the games can't be played or something like that, then, you know, then people start taking a second look at all this. But, you know, we've seen so far that college administrators and athletic directors are pretty determined at these schools to just push through and deal with whatever problems that come up when they come up. And I'm not saying that that's right or wrong. I think it's a little crazy on some level, you know, until we have a better, you know, control of the virus and the testing and all that other stuff. Because I don't think it's great that a bunch of people are getting COVID, whether they're symptomatic or not. But, you know, I do think that this kind of thing, and we'll see how it impacts. Like, I don't know about Arkansas State, you know, where they're at, but apparently they're cleared to play. You know, if it looked like a situation where it was transmitted on the field and then, you know, it just sort of cascades from there and you have teams in a bunch of different conferences that they can't play because they played each other, that does create a big, big issue.
You mentioned that you think some of this is on Memphis and their commitment. I'm curious, how much of this falls on the shoulders of Ryan Silverfield?
Well, I don't know enough about, like, everything going on with the Memphis program and what kind of ship Ryan Silverfield is running. I don't feel comfortable commenting on that because I just don't know. What I do know is just in talking to people, like, within the American Athletic Conference around, you know, when this story first started to bubble up, you know, I did hear some comments of, yeah, Memphis is one we've been concerned about the whole time. And, you know, I think I take people at face value on that. You know, whether that's their protocols or procedures, I don't know exactly. But it doesn't sound like at least people within the league are very happy with Memphis right now because they don't think that this is, like, totally accidental.
We posed this question earlier. Ben and I were talking about it. What happens in a situation where there's a team that could be competing for a conference championship or even a playoff berth, and their opponent is the one that's at fault that can't play the game, and now all of a sudden, you know, you're late in the season and the game can't get made up? Then what happens in college football?
Well, we're going to have that situation at some point, and I don't really know. I mean, I'm of the mind that for this year, who makes the playoff and who's competing for the national championship and all that stuff, like, who cares? I mean, I know people care, but that's not the biggest issue right now. The biggest issue is getting through the games, getting to the end. The competitive side is way, way, way secondary in this particular year. But, you know, in this particular case, here's something to think about. Like, if you're Houston right now, you know, what are you thinking? Like, why are you allowing Green to have the game made up instead of just having Memphis forfeit? Because, you know, if they do believe or it's determined that this situation was caused by, you know, by misbehavior, essentially, on the part of Memphis, well, why does Houston have to be inconvenienced to go play the game 2 months later? You know, why not just forfeit? And I'm not advocating one way or the other. I'm just saying from their point of view, I could certainly see that argument. And this is the kind of thing that's going to come up over and over again.
Right. And the NFL got started last night too. The ratings were okay compared to other years. What do you make of the start there, and how is that different? I mean, clearly you're dealing with professionals and you have more resources, but will we see the same sort of problems in the NFL as you anticipate we'll see in college?
Well, we might, but I will give the NFL a lot of credit because, you know, the daily testing seems to be working for them. You know, they've had not had a ton of positive cases, but the fact that they're all getting tested every day when they go in does seem to have the intended effect of making sure that if somebody's positive, that they're not spreading it around to a bunch of people in a locker room or in another setting. So, you know, it seems like they're on a good path, and if they keep it up, they've got a real chance of finishing out the season. But, you know, they're on a high wire act too. Like, I've coined the phrase to some of these people, like, you're only as good as your next test in college football or in pro football right now. But, you know, the NFL does seem to prove the theory of the case that when you can test every day, you've got a good shot.
You had a column a couple of days ago about when it comes to college basketball, the proposed NCAA tournament that would include every team, a 350-plus team NCAA tournament. You said it's not as crazy as it sounds. Tell us why.
Well, it's not going to happen, but I think just as a theory, as an idea in this one particular year, it didn't offend me the way it offended some other people, because this is going to be such a weird irregular season, and there's going to be some teams that play conference games only, some teams that play a few non-conference games, some teams that play a bunch of non-conference games. Like, it's not going to be uniform across the board like it normally is, and I think it's going to be really hard for the committee to determine a fair 68-team field. Now, again, maybe that doesn't matter in this particular circumstance, but I also think there's a element to this of, you know, the bottom 100, 150 teams in Division I, I'm not sure how many of them are actually going to end up playing at the end of the day, because it is going to cost them money. They're going to lose a lot of money on college basketball if they can't play the non-conference games that they normally play. And, you know, all those money games that teams like Memphis will, you know, give against, you know, Savannah State or Prairie View or whomever, if those teams can't get those games, what's the point of them playing this year? So, you know, if you include everybody in the NCAA tournament off the bat, I think it does incentivize teams that might, you know, have a real struggle to play this season to actually go through with the season. So I get the logic behind it, but I would certainly acknowledge that there's big, big logistical issues.
It would have to be tiered, right? You couldn't start with a one seed versus a 100 and something seed right off the bat.
I'm sure there's different ways you could do it. I mean, you take the bottom, you know, you take the bottom, you know, I don't know what it is, you know, 230 teams, and you kind of put them in different categories, and, you know, you protect the top 100 or the top 75 or whatever. I don't really know. I mean, you could build a bracket a million different ways when you're talking about those kinds of numbers. You know, this one particular year, like, I'm just not that hung up on tradition or what, you know, what cheapens the regular season or any of the sort of typical arguments that people make about, how to, you know, do sports, because I just think all that's out the window right now. Like, people just need to, you know, get a little creative and try to figure out how to get these games going.
And lastly, before I let you go, you're a big tennis guy. You've had a bunch of tennis columns as well. What is the biggest storyline from the U.S. Open, do you think? I saw you had a column on Naomi Osaka. You wrote something about Serena Williams. What's the biggest tennis story?
Well, yeah, I mean, Naomi Osaka tomorrow in the final going for her third Grand Slam. She's really kind of poised to become a big global superstar. And she's big. She's famous. But and she is the highest paid female athlete in the world, largely because she is of Japanese citizenship. Even though she grew up in the United States, her mom's Japanese, so she plays under the Japanese banner, and that is worth a ton of money in Japan, where they just market the hell out of the sports stars, the few that they have. So you know, but at the same time, like, just everything that's going on, she's really leaned into the social justice angle, her personality, which was very sort of shy and reserved and awkward, she's kind of growing into, you know, this woman, this leader, trailblazer, and she's really, really good, and she's set to become, you know, kind of at that Serena level of stardom.
Yeah. So how about Serena? She gets bounced a little bit earlier. You said she should have no regrets.
Yeah, I mean, she played well last night. She, you know, she didn't choke. She wasn't nervous. She didn't gag or anything like that. She played a great first set. She went for it. She just got beat, and that happens. It happens more often when you're 38. I think it's hard for her right now, and it's going to continue to be hard because 38 is 38, and that's hard in tennis. But she has nothing to be ashamed of. Like, I think everything is, for Serena at this point, should be gravy. She's got the most Grand Slams in the Open era. Her career is kind of unmatched at this point. So, you know, I think anything she adds to it at this point, it's totally just running up the score.
Awesome. Appreciate it, Dan.
Thanks.
When we come back, we'll do four stories at 4:44. This is Drew Hill filling in for Gary Parrish on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Football is back, and DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is putting you in the center of this weekend's action with over $8 million up for grabs across all of their contests. So get in on the action now. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, every pass, every catch means more with a DraftKings lineup. It's simple. You just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. DraftKings has paid out billions of dollars to winners since 2012. They know a thing or two about cold hard cash, so download the DraftKings app now and make sure to use code WMFS. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at the $1 million top prize with your first deposit and compete for more than $8 million in prizes across all contests. So don't miss this extra special week one bonus, and don't forget to use code WMFS only at DraftKings. A minimum $5 deposit is required. Other terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Have you ever wondered what's inside your air ducts? Hi, this is Lauren Choate with Choate's Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing. If you are one of many who suffers from bad allergies, especially in the Mid-South, and would like to improve the indoor air quality of your home, then Choate's Air Duct Cleaning could be a solution for you and your family. Air Duct Cleaning has been proven to help people with allergies and other respiratory issues by removing buildup of debris from your home's air supply. Air Duct Cleaning will also help eliminate dust from building up in your house. Therefore, you don't have to dust as much either. And Air Duct Cleaning is also shown to help improve the performance of your air conditioning and heating system. Choate's is the name you can trust for all your indoor air quality needs. So call Choate's today at 755-4797 or visit our website at choateshvac.com to schedule a free video inspection to help you breathe a little easier. And remember, Choate's, let our family serve your family.
Grab the usual suspects, pick your nearest or dearest trail, and get ready to leave your worries at base camp. Because Honda is here with a great getaway event to help our family of riders plan an escape from the routine. It's all happening now at DeSoto Honda in Olive Branch. That's where you'll find exclusive offers on your favorite Honda motorcycles, ATVs, and side-by-sides, like the 4Trax Foreman. Built to never quit, it offers the comfort you need on long rides and work days. Plus, the bigger engine for 2020 means even more of the proven power you expect from a Honda ATV.
Right now, you can ride off on the foreman and save big with up to $600 in factory to dealer incentives on select models. Visit or call DeSoto Honda, 5656 Goodman Road in Olive Branch, and hatch a plan for adventure during the Honda Great Getaway event. Factory to dealer incentives are good with select new and unregistered models. See dealer for complete program details.
It's been a few months since you hired a lawyer for your injury case. You hired that lawyer without much thought or research. An ad that caught your eye. A friend told you about them. Or worse, they called you, which would have them disbarred if they were caught. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. And now you realize you made a huge mistake by hiring the wrong lawyer. Your gut tells you your case is worth way more, but your lawyer's trying to cram a settlement offer down your throat because they need the money more than you do. And then you go to ForThePeople.com and see offers made and rejected and our jury verdicts, hundreds of them. You got to see what your case should really be worth. Here's the thing. Just because you hired a lawyer doesn't mean you can't fire that lawyer. People call us every day doing exactly that, and it won't cost you one penny more. You only have one day in court. There's only one Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com.
Free background information available upon request.
I had cancer for the fourth time.
I have bipolar disorder.
I was hit by a car.
I have a rare disease.
I have Down syndrome.
Children's health care in the United States is severely underfunded.
We can't wait while the debate over a funding solution continues.
Kids can't wait. Give to the Children's Miracle Network Hospital's COVID-19 Impact Fund. Text CHILD to 51555. CHILD to 51555.
This is Joe. Joe thinks he's seen it all.
I've seen it all. Golden-crusted pork chop? Seen it. Cat with a dog tattoo? Seen it.
But when it comes to identity theft, Joe only monitors his credit and bank statements.
Psh, credit fraud? Seen it.
He doesn't realize that with so much of his personal info out there, his identity could be at risk in ways he might never know about, like a new loan in his name or his personal info for sale on the dark web.
Whoa, didn't see that coming.
LifeLock helps detect and alerts you to a wide range of identity threats. If there's a problem, a dedicated U.S.-based specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock sees threats you could miss on your own.
Oh, now I see what you mean.
Right now, save up to 25% off your first year with promo code AWARE at LifeLock.com.
Did you just say 25% off with promo code AWARE?
I did.
Okay, now I've seen everything.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian.
Welcome back. Drew Hill filling in for Gary on 92.9. Big thanks to Dan for joining us in the last segment. He had some really interesting things to say there.
Yeah.
I'm already seeing some of them pop up on Twitter. I had a feeling that was going to happen.
Yeah.
No, let's do four stories at 4:44. We got other stuff to discuss today.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
I figured we would talk about the Chiefs and Texans game in this, but I kind of want to pivot. Like, I just want to talk about Andy Reid's face shield. That the most ridiculous. It was hilarious. I at some point, Mark Giannotto tweeted out, "Can he even see?" And I responded to Mark's tweet and was like, he probably thinks he's playing in the damn fog bowl now.
Listen, when
how did he see anything that was going on the field?
Dude, it's all good. When you have Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback, you don't have to see the playbook. Like,
just calling numbers.
Patrick, you got this.
Well, honestly, it looks like he was, because they gave it to Clyde Edwards-Helaire 25 times, and it's so little on the screen. And then they threw it with Pat Mahomes, 32 times, so pretty balanced for the Chiefs. They were awesome. Just basically, they lived up to exactly what everybody sort of expected them to be.
That's the thing that's so scary about them is, you watch that game last night, you're just like, they played good for the Chiefs. They played pretty good.
Oh, yeah, they didn't even – They are awesome. I shouldn't have said they played awesome. They didn't even play awesome.
No, they didn't play awesome, and they still put up 34 points. Like, they are going to terrorize the league this year if everybody stays healthy for them.
And that rookie running back looks really good, too. Dude. That's the other scary thing about it. I thought that the Texans, they battled. They competed the way I thought that they would compete. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they have anything to hang their head about. Deshaun Watson looked pretty good. He threw one really bad interception. But in general, he had a pretty solid night as well. David Johnson had a good night for his first game as a Texan. So I don't really think that they have anything to be ashamed of. The Chiefs way better.
Yeah, they were. I mean, I will say, like, you know, Bill O'Brien, like the two times that he – but Jeff talked about the two times that he punted when, like, it was – there was minimal yards to gain when you're down so much. Like, and –
punting to the Chiefs, keep in mind.
You're punting the Chiefs. He kept handing the ball off to David Johnson, who had a good game, and I get it. Like, Bill O'Brien has something to prove with David Johnson. Like, he's got to be good for them because you traded DeAndre Hopkins for him. But I just – it didn't make sense. Like, it felt like he was more – in my opinion, it felt like Bill O'Brien was trying not to get blown out as opposed to winning the game. That's what I felt like watching that. Like, I felt like he was – trying as hard as possible to not have Patrick Mahomes throw 5 touchdowns.
I can see that. But the Chiefs did, like, they could have scored even more points.
I know they could.
They had that drive, yep. I think it was in the second quarter, that was like a 9-minute drive. It was like 91 yards in 9 minutes all the way down the field for a touchdown. I was like, dang, the Chiefs just killed their entire quarter. Like, usually when they score, they do it in a hurry, and that's why they scored a million points a game.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just methodical all the way down the field. There was, even when they went down 7-0, the way that they moved the ball at the beginning of the game, and even though they came up empty, I was like, when they had to punt, especially on the review where the ball, he dropped it in the end zone. Even when they went down 7-0, I was like, they're moving the ball way too well. This game is not going to be close. And in the end, it ends up being 14 points. The spread was 9.5, so the Chiefs covered
there. Dude,
your picks. You went 0-2 on your picks now that I think about it.
Dude, I was, like, screaming at the TV. And I shouldn't have bet against Andy Reid. Like, he's great against the spread.
Jeffrey was the one that was, like, hammering it into my brain. He was like, Chiefs, Chiefs, Chiefs and over, Chiefs and over. And the over-under was dramatic. It was 53.5. It ends up being 54.
Yep.
And it's the late field goal by the Chiefs that pushes it over. So that was really close too. So if you are if you like to bet on the NFL, and we're getting legal sports betting here in like November, aren't we? FanDuel and I'm
like
sure.
In the city limits?
I think like you're going to be able to bet online on an app in Tennessee. In the coming months, I believe that has been reported. I know that they have passed the legislation to make it happen. It just takes a while to get everything up and running. So, yeah, I think that is coming and on the way.
Story number two.
The Lakers won last night. I got to be honest, Bennett, I didn't really watch it because I was watching the NFL game.
Well, it got out of hand, right? And the Rockets came back. But once the NFL started, like, it was over.
Yeah.
It was over. We said it yesterday, and it is so true. There is a reason that game tipped off at 6:00 Central, because they knew what was going to happen, and it's exactly what happened. Everyone probably watched the first half and flipped right over to NFL.
My picks have been money, by the way.
They have?
On all these things. Because I remember I said earlier this week, I said the Lakers finish it off in 5. They're going to win 4 in a row. And
it's looking good. 5.
I like that. The only one that I've missed on was I had the I said the Celtics were going to close it out, and they had the double overtime loss.
I said game 7 and that the Celtics would win it in game 7. I think that's going to happen. I think Kim is going to have a big game tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch that. Again, I've said it all week. I want the Celtics to win simply because I want the Heat in the Celtics series. The Raptors I don't have the same interest in
them. I wouldn't mind Heat Raptors. I think the East Finals will be good regardless of who it is, but I'm with you. Like, I want to see the bloodbath Celtics Heat. It'll just be ridiculous.
But that Rockets Lakers series is over, right? They're closing it out in the next game.
Yeah, dude. I mean, did you see like James Harden post game? Like, just like, I know that he's annoyed with the questions and everything like that. I get that. Like, you just lost, but He just seemed like he doesn't care right now.
They asked him. He got asked a question. I think this is what you're referring to, about why in a game with such high stakes they came out and played flat for three quarters, essentially. And he just said, good question. Just didn't answer it at all. Which to me, like, not that he owes the reporter anything that asked him the question, but it shows I would want some more accountability. I would want him to say, you're right, there's no excuse for us coming out flat, instead of saying that.
Dude, it's true what you say. Like, he doesn't owe the reporter the answer. That's fine, whatever. But you're going to look like, to people who see that you don't care.
Right. This was the Jay Cutler scenario.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
It was the same thing 100%. When he lost in the NFC Championship game and was sitting there on the bike. Looked like he was pouting the whole time, and then he doesn't answer the question. Like, that's just the way that you're going
to
come off.
What are they going to do? I mean, they're just going to try to run it back. That's all they can do. They don't – they can't make any moves in the offseason. Like, they've made their moves to win a championship.
No, yeah. But it'll be interesting to see if here we go. News from Shams.
What's up?
Daniel House. He's left the NBA bubble after the investigation, and he will not return.
Wow. So it was all true.
Wow. So the Rockets.
Let's see. Okay, here's the statement right here. The NBA has concluded its investigation of a recent violation of campus health and safety protocols. The findings are that Houston Rockets forward Daniel House had a guest in his hotel room over multiple hours on September 8th who was not authorized to be on campus, and no evidence was found that other players or staff had contact with the guest or were involved in this incident. Mr. House is leaving the NBA campus and will not participate with the Rockets team in additional games this season.
Wow. That multiple hours?
Multiple.
What is Daniel House doing in his hotel room?
Daniel House is a rock star.
Daniel House, man. He's a Houston Rocket, and he is a rock star. That is, that's crazy.
I mean, I wonder, like, honestly. And he wasn't like a big piece of what they. He was a piece. Like, he was a part of their rotation. He played and he contributed to that team.
It doesn't matter
as far as the outcome. Like, they were going to lose anyways, with or without Daniel House. But it does make you wonder if, like, that team, just when that story gets out and that's become the story, you know, just as much as the game has. Like, everyone's talking about Daniel House. There's the memes all over the place. If that really affected that team. Like, they're like, okay.
I do,
like,
want, yeah.
Like, we're not together in this. Like, we're not, we don't.
Well, that was going to be part of my question, is if it looks like the Rockets already don't care, are they even going to be mad?
Like, oh, dude, they're going to.
They even be upset?
They're going to lose the next game. Like, it's.
Right. It doesn't matter.
No, they don't. They're done.
I don't think there's any, like do you will think James Harden be mad at Daniel House?
Yeah, like, do you think they come out with, like, this, like, just great effort and fight? No.
Do it for Daniel.
No, dude. There's
no
way.
Do it for Daniel.
They're losing the next game. Yeah.
Story number three.
Adam Schefter reported today that Tua.
8 hours.
Multiple hours
on September 8th. I'm sorry. Multiple hours.
Whatever.
We don't know the exact number of hours.
8 hours would be a bit excessive.
Yeah.
That's. What is Daniel House doing, man? What is Daniel House doing in his hotel room?
Yeah, okay.
Anyway,
what
on to Tua.
Say, yeah.
On to Tua. He's fully cleared, and I think everybody sort of assumed that he wasn't going to play this season. Probably he wasn't even going to be available, at least until halfway through the season.
Yep.
But he was practicing in camp, and then now he has been fully cleared, and he is available if the Dolphins want to use him against the New England Patriots on Sunday. It's interesting because that's a fun matchup. It's Cam versus Tua. It's like Auburn's star versus the Alabama star. And it's the new guy versus a former MVP. So I'm interested to see if he'll get on the field. I think Miami will just leave him on the bench, at least for the first stretch of the season.
I do too.
Not touch it.
I think what you'll see, and listen, this is something. The Dolphins overachieved last year. I know they weren't a good team, but they still won games they weren't supposed to win. You know, they're not going to be good this year. Brian Flores, I want to just go ahead and put that out there now. That dude better keep his job after this season, because here's what's you know what he needs to do? Lose some games with Fitzpatrick, put in Tua halfway through the season.
That way it's not your fault.
That way it's not your fault. You're probably not going to be good anyways, regardless of how Tua looks, because it's a rookie quarterback coming in halfway through the season. But at least he gets to, you know, be a part of, you know, on the field and everything with
Fitzpatrick.
The Dolphins
just don't have a good team, period, around him.
Yeah, I think that's how it's going to go, right? Like, I think they'll probably lose early with Fitzpatrick and put Tua in, like, halfway through the season.
The other note on Tua, he had this documentary that was supposed to come out. It was supposed to come out last week, and that got pushed back because I think there was, like, a game or something that got delayed, and so they couldn't air the documentary at the beginning. It's called Tua. It's going to run on Fox. It's now running on Fox tomorrow.
Is it about, it says, like, the whole
it's about
hip
his
and
life.
Everything?
Well, oh, yeah, okay. It's about everything. It's just about his life and being Samoan, and he has, obviously, like, family traditions that go along with that.
Yeah. I'm a fan. You know, him and Marcus Mariota are buddies. They
yeah.
played at the same high school.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's I think that whole aspect, I'm very interested in the Samoan culture and how that sort of impacts him and everything. So I think the documentary will be really cool. The trailer is awesome.
What's it going to be on again?
Fox. And I don't know the exact time. It says check your local listings because it had to be changed because it got pushed back. But the trailer for the documentary looks awesome. So I will tweet that out right now if anybody wants to go check it out. But
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.